Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Here's our global warming update for today. It is currently 18 degrees in normally sunny Denver, Colorado, which is now snowed under. So that's the global warming update for the day. It's 18 degrees. Have you heard about the ratings results for Madonna's concert on NBC, her Confessions concert? Madonna likes to mix a few different elements in her career. She likes to mix sex and children and religion. That's sort of the primary elements in some of her music. And religion and sex, she loves mixing those elements. Well, she failed to lure a significant audience. The Confessions concert was broadcast a couple weeks ago now, and it ended up finishing fourth in its time slot. Fourth, that's not good for NBC. And you'll remember, under pressure from Christians, NBC cut the footage of her singing while hanging from a crucifix. And didn't she have a crown of thorns or something on her head at the same time? Some kind of blasphemy. Anyway, they cut that, thankfully. And so Madonna ends up doing terribly in the ratings. And the shows that beat Madonna, now if you get beat by other programs, you know, you like to know, well, what were they? We had some pretty good ratings for Bob Enyart Live back when we were on nationwide in about 80 cities. And I've shared some of those ratings with you guys in the past. But Madonna, how did she do? Well, she was beat by a CBS show called Jericho. Now, I have heard of the city Jericho, but I've never heard of the show Jericho. I'm sure a lot of people watch it. I've just never heard of it. And ABC's show, Show Me the Money, I've never heard of that one either. They beat Madonna. And a Fox broadcasting of the movie Cheaper by the Dozen. Now that, I've heard of the movie. At least I've heard of it. But they beat Madonna also. Okay, so good. Glad about that. You heard about the Muslim leaders, the imams, who were thrown off the U.S. Airways flight back, when was this, 2 weeks ago? A week ago? And there was a report on this yesterday in the Washington Times, and I thought you would enjoy hearing some of the details. Now, they said that this was Islamophobia, and it was bigotry against Muslims, that all they were doing was praying on the plane. That was it. You know, there are plenty of Christians who pray on the plane, especially when the flight attendant comes on and he says, please put your tray tables in their upright and locked positions. He starts talking in a rather effeminate manner, and you think, oh no, I hope this flight doesn't get judged when we're at 30,000 feet. So there's a lot of Christians who pray during flights. It's okay to pray during flights, even if you're a pagan and you're praying to the moon god or something. That's okay. But that's not what happened here. According to the Washington Times, Muslim religious leaders who were removed from a Minneapolis flight last week exhibited behavior associated with a security probe into terrorism and were not merely engaged in prayers, according to witnesses, police reports, and aviation security officials. Now, witnesses said three of the imams were praying loudly in the concourse and repeatedly shouted, Allah! I didn't get the exact MP3 file on that, but they repeatedly shouted Allah when passengers were called for boarding U.S. Airways Flight 300 to Phoenix. And the gate agent told the Minneapolis Police Department, I was suspicious by the way they were praying very loud. Passengers and flight attendants told law enforcement officials that the imams switched from their assigned seats to a pattern now well known and associated with the September 11th terrorist attacks. That what they did was they had their assigned seats. Well, they switched from those and they left two in the front row first class section, two in the middle of the plane on the exit aisle, and two in the rear of the cabin. So a federal air marshal who was interviewed by the Washington Times said, that would alarm me. And yeah, you got these guys shouting, Allah, in the concourse. They get on the plane, and then basically they have control of the exits of the plane. And so they were removed, and they said, this is all discrimination, and they had some kind of press conference in Washington, D.C. And, you know, if they're not wise enough to recognize in the aftermath of 9/11 that their behavior was provocative, that they were intentionally provoking fear, then they're fools, and obviously they have an agenda. Okay, and we need to remind people at every turn, if ever anyone says that Islam is a religion of tolerance, we need to remind them that Mecca is the geographic center, the capital of Islam. And in the entire city of Mecca, there's not a single synagogue. And in the entire country of Saudi Arabia, there is not a single church, not one in the whole country. And that's because Muslims are in charge. And no, Muslims are not tolerant. Islam is not a tolerant religion. And some people say, well, Muslims themselves are tolerant. But I don't know, when's the last time you heard the Islamic Center of Colorado in Aurora? When's the last time you heard them calling, criticizing Saudi Arabia and calling for that country to allow churches and synagogues to be established in the entire country of Saudi Arabia? So when's the last time we heard that? Never. I'd say we heard that never. So anybody who says that Islam is a tolerant religion, they're misinformed or they're intentionally deceiving you, if you hear them say that, or attempting to deceive you. But since you tune into Bob and Yurt Live, it'll be harder for them to be successful. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, I heard another Denver Christian talk show host on the air this week, and I want to relate to you what I heard, and we'll talk through it. This segment of this Christian show, a pastor, had to do with tithing, and this pastor was claiming that God wants Christians to tithe, give 10% of their income to ministry or to the local church, and we, at Denver Bible Church, we teach absolutely not, and I'll get into why God does not want us to tithe in a little bit. But I heard some of the things that I've heard in the past, and it's really discouraging. Well, the host was quoting research statistics that not only do Christians not tithe, but that many of those who claim to tithe actually do not. They don't really. And he quoted from, I believe it was Barna Research, a statistic that 75% of children from Christian families end up rejecting the faith and falling away from God. And that very well is true. You send them to public school, and our colleges and universities are certainly designed, the curriculum is designed to get kids, to put a wedge between these students and the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So, of course, you send your kids to public schools, and then parents, many parents pay for their kids to go to college. And if your kid wants to be, if he wants to be an architect, a doctor, hey, he's going to have to get a college degree. But quite often, parents pay for the kids to go to college, and what that means is that the kids go and they major in drunkenness and sexual immorality and laziness, and a lot of kids don't really survive college in that way, and their lives are ruined by the time they get out. You know, they take the aggressive approach to their education. They squeeze a four-year college degree into 7 years, and it costs maybe $180,000 or something, and they start out their lives pretty much broken, and often financially broke also, because they typically end up borrowing tens of thousands on their own credit, or if not 100,000 or more. Okay, so anyway, so yeah, Barna's right. Three quarters of Christian kids fall away and end up rejecting the faith. That's true, and that's devastating. And then this Christian pastor on the air in Denver, Colorado, he compared that to another statistic that was something like this. Christians who tithe only actually give 25%. That's it. And so he made the connection. He said, isn't it interesting that we only tithe, we only give to God 25%, and God only gives to us 25% of our kids? And my heart just sunk. I was devastated by how God was being misrepresented to the listening audience. And imagine an unbeliever in the audience hearing this. Just imagine. Because God is not up there calculating, okay, you've only given this much money, so I'm going to send those three kids to hell because you only gave, you got four kids in your family and you gave 2.5%. So I'm going to send your three youngest kids to hell. That's not God. God doesn't do that. And what's really bizarre is that this particular pastor, like so many, believes that God orchestrated everything that happens, that God has decreed every single thing that happens so that the people, the Christians who are only tithing 25%, they believe that God decreed before the foundation of the earth that they would only tithe that much, and no matter what, no conceivable thing could happen for them to give one penny more than what God foreordained that they would tithe. And so these Christians, apparently by the millions, are tithing exactly what God predestined them to tithe. No matter what, even if they wanted to, they couldn't tithe more. They just couldn't. So they're tithing exactly what God decreed they would tithe, and then God is punishing them by sending three out of four of their kids to hell because they didn't tithe more when God is the one who determined what they would tithe. Now, is your mind twisted up into a knot yet? Is it all convoluted? If you were driving, did you swerve a little into the shoulder? Trying to just, you're dazed with what in the world are Christians talking about? If it's bizarre and it makes no sense, then you're onto something there. And Christians will say, oh, but God's ways are higher than our ways. And that is absolutely true. But ask yourself this, are God's ways lower than our ways? You see, when they fall back to that and they say, oh, but God's ways are higher than our ways, what they are trying to justify is not God. It's not God they're trying to justify. They are trying to justify their own false teaching and misrepresentation about God. And they've presented God in such an unjust way, and they want people to think that God is lower than our ways. That God would decree that a Christian family with four kids could only tithe 25% of their money. That's it. They could only tithe 25% because before they were even born, God had determined how much they would tithe. There's nothing they could do to change it. And then he's going to punish them for not tithing 100% of their tithe by having three of their kids go to hell. And then we were reminded of Ananias and Sapphira. And that's even... that's just as terrible when it's misrepresented in a way to guilt people into giving more money to ministry. So let's go to the phones first, and then we'll continue with this discussion of tithing and why Denver Bible Church does not teach tithing, as many other churches don't also. Let's go to Maybank, Texas. Tom, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob.
Hello, Tom.
Enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Why is it that pastors only teach one-third of the tithing laws?
Oh.
Why don't they teach that once a year you're supposed to take your tithing money and have a party on God? Hey, why is it that every 3 years you're supposed to take your tithe and give it to the poor?
Hey, Tom, I love this. You're like a full-service caller. Because you called about global warming, and you're able to transition so smoothly into tithing, and I love it.
Well,
you're absolutely...
That's because I read the plot, and I listened to all of your tapes.
You read the plot, the manuscript we sell, and the overview of the whole Bible.
Yes.
And that's a lot of fun. And in the Bible, when God taught Israel that they were supposed to tithe, tithing is a part of the law.
Yes.
And Jesus in Matthew 23:23 made it very clear that tithing was a part of the law. And through the Apostle Paul, God tells us we're no longer under the law. In the book of Hebrews, we read that when the priesthood changed, of necessity, there's also a change in the law. So anyway, the tithe, they had a tithe feast. And God said, once a year, you take your tithe money and you throw a feast. You throw a feast and you spend that money for whatever your heart desires. You buy, you know, food, drink, wine. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 14, by the way.
Or whatever your heart lusted after.
Yeah, or whatever your heart desires is a more accurate translation.
You're right.
And you shall rejoice, you and your household. So God says, to those who were under the tithe. Now, if we're going to say that the tithe is still in force, you think at least our teachers would be experts on the tithe. And they would teach also about the tithe feast. And so in Deuteronomy 14, God says, take your tithe and spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, whatever your heart desires, and you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. So at Denver Bible Church, we point out that we are no longer under the tithing law, that God has different rules for the body of Christ. But we say, when God did impose the tithe on Israel, he told them, once a year, pay for your Thanksgiving dinner, for example, out of the tithe. So I would think, with the thousands of churches that teach that you must tithe, I would think at this point in my life, I've been a Christian for 33 years, I would think by now, I would have heard of at least one church that taught that out of your tithe, spend that money on your Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, Bob, I'm 71 years old, and I'm still looking for that church.
Still looking. So I haven't heard that. And then there are other examples where God tells them, now, the tithe is 10%, but don't give 10% because you have to use some of that money for other purposes.
Right.
And these passages that are in the Bible as clear as day get ignored. They get ignored by the ministries that teach tithing. And here at Bob and Yurt Live and at Denver Bible Church, we're not experts on tithing because we don't teach tithing.
They even say give 10% before the government gets their money. But that ain't right either because, you know, if the government takes... certain amount of taxes, then you're paying more than 10%.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that tithing teachers would say, well, do you tithe on your gross or do you tithe on your net? Like a pastor of a megachurch, I heard that. And, of course, he's due for a pay raise if everybody tithes.
Exactly.
And so he says, well, do you tithe on your gross? Let's say you gross $600 a week, and let's say you take home $420. So the question for that church is, are they going to hope to get $42 a week out of this struggling family or $60 a week out of the family?
They want the 60.
Yeah, they want the 60. So they say, well, if you want God to bless your gross, then you tithe on your gross.
You'll get 100-fold.
Well, maybe, or 10-fold, or whatever fold.
If you just send that check.
But anyway, of course... Back when Kennedy was president in the U.S., JFK, the top tax bracket in America was 90%.
I remember that.
90. So Kennedy advocated and brought about, you know, large tax decreases to our progressive income tax, to the brackets. But then if you went to one of these churches that told you you had a tax on your gross... then you give 10%. Let's say you're a millionaire and you're in the 90% tax bracket. Then you give 90% to the government. Then you're just flat out broke.
Exactly.
And you got to go on welfare.
You'd have to take out a loan.
You got to take out a loan to buy food for your kids. And you know what? There are countries in this world, even in the EU, in Europe, the European Union, you know, the tax brackets are through the roof.
Well, may I be the devil's advocate and give you the argument that I always hear.
All right.
Tithing, Abraham tithed it to Melchizedek. And
yeah.
That was before the law.
That was before the Mosaic law. That's absolutely right.
So tithing was before the law.
And Abraham also sacrificed animals, right?
Yeah, right. And he also got circumcised. So.
And he was circumcised. Ouch.
That was before the law.
And we are to no longer, circumcision is of the law, even though it came before the law. That's why circumcision is repeated for us in the book of Leviticus. And tithing is of the law, even though it came before the full Mosaic law. Just as the animal sacrifices were of the law, even though they were introduced before the official giving of the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic law in the wilderness. And Jesus in Matthew 23:23 makes it explicit that tithing is among the matters of the law. In fact, he points out that tithing
in Matthew, I believe.
Matthew 23:23, that tithing is of the lesser matters of the law. The weightier matters of the law were justice and mercy and faith. You know, believe God, and so on. But tithing, the Pharisees would tithe even of the herbs that they grew in their garden. Jesus said, "You hypocrites, you pay tithe of the mint and anise and cumin, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law." So you follow the lesser matters of the law to the T.
And you should not have let the
weightier matters undone.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Bob, the reason I called
yeah.
yesterday, you were talking about global warming.
Yeah.
Now, I'm 71 years old, and before we move on to losing sleep over global warming, I want to know what happened to acid rain.
Wait a minute now. What happened? You know what? I'm only 47. But I remember that we were all going to be...
Let me tell you, that thing, that acid rain was going to take the paint off our cars, the paint off our houses, our dogs were going to lose their hair, we were going to get cancer, it was going to pollute all the rivers. We only had 10 years to live. And I remember that. And then the next thing I know, it disappeared, and we had another, something else. It was, I can't remember, but there's been about, I bet you could go back and look at all the scares that they come up with, and, you know, from, 1930 on.
Mm-hmm.
And about every 10 years, there was some kind of a scare, you know, that was just going to kill us, and give us cancer, and kill our kids, and kill our dogs, my argument is I want to know what happened to acid rain because I'm still worried about acid rain.
Acid rain. All right. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for your call.
All right, Bob.
Appreciate that very much. And I'm also wondering about mad cow disease. I want to know how angry do you have to get at a cow before you get mad cow disease? I'm just not sure about that one either. Okay. All right, yeah, the acid rain scare, I think that started to fade away, 20 years ago or 25 years ago? 20 years ago. The mad acid rain scare started to fall away. And if you go on the internet, you could find a page where they warn people of the dangers of dihydrogen monoxide. Now, my son, Michael, is in the control room right now. And, Michael, what grade are you in? First grade. Now, Michael, if somebody said, watch out, don't drink that, it's dihydrogen monoxide, don't drink it, Would you be afraid to drink it? It sounds like a poison, doesn't it? That's why tens of thousands of liberals have signed petitions to outlaw dihydrogen monoxide. And you know what that really is? It's called water. Dihydrogen monoxide, H2O. Right? H2, that's two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. So dihydrogen, two hydrogens, and monoxide is one oxygen. So dihydrogen monoxide is H2O, and it's so funny. It's a spoof on liberals, this website, that it asks people to sign a petition to outlaw dihydrogen monoxide, and it explains that dihydrogen monoxide is left in open containers in factories around the country, and at times animals fall in these containers and they die. And even children have been known to fall into large vats of dihydrogen monoxide and they've died. And everyone who has ever died of certain kinds of melanoma and other cancers were known to ingest dihydrogen monoxide in the years before their death. So anyway, it's all bizarre, right? Okay. So we have to be educated so that we're not dupes. Now, regarding tithing, we in the body of Christ are under a new set of house rules. The house rules have changed between Israel and the body of Christ. So for the body of Christ, we don't need a calculator to determine what we give. We give. Paul the Apostle wrote, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart and give joyfully." So there is a need in a ministry, and you know the needs of your family, your budget, and you know your income. So you pray and you ask God to help you determine what are you going to give. And if it's more or less than you're intending, you ask God, "Lord, give me peace, help me." And that moves us toward a relationship with God, and actually an experiential relationship where we look to God, to his still small voice, for peace, that we are honoring him in what we've decided to give. We're out of time. This is Bob and Yurt Live, our website, KGOV, KGOV.com, and in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school, Maranatha.